If you're wondering what the backpack is for, it's for an illustration. So, how many people here like to fly on airplanes? All right. I'm a person that likes to fly, okay? Whenever we take a trip down to Texas or wherever we go, I enjoy flying. And there's only one part that I don't like about flying. And that's whenever we all get on the plane and we have to wait for everyone else to get on. And then whenever we land and we have to wait for everybody to get off before we can get off. That is something I did not like to do, okay? It's me, Haley, and Kennedy when we're flying. Kennedy gets restless. She wants to get off. She sees everyone else standing up. We usually like to sit in the middle of the plane. So everyone, of course, in front of us, right as soon as the plane lands, stands up, even though it's going to take 15 minutes for it to be their turn. People behind us all stand up, all waiting to get off the plane. I hate that, okay? I do not like sitting there waiting. Well, the last time that we flew and we landed back at DTW, I was sitting there and I was holding my backpack in my arms and I was just kind of looking at it. And I noticed something that was interesting, okay? It's a Nike backpack, as you can tell. You can see the swoosh on it, okay? Well, whenever I was looking at the backpack, I noticed that on the back, on the emblem, well, on the clips, where no one can see it except for the owner that's holding it, like right in front of their face, it says Nike. On the zipper, it says Nike. On really inconspicuous spots on the backpack, it says Nike. And I was wondering, why would they do that? It's pretty clear and obvious that it's a Nike backpack. It says, has a swoosh right there. It says Max Air on the back. It's pretty clear and obvious it's a Nike backpack. So why would they put Nike all over it? And it kind of dawned on me, and God kind of laid it on my heart, that they're doing that because they want everyone to know that comes into contact with this backpack that it's Nike. They want everyone to know that whenever I wear that, I'm representing Nike. Whenever I'm walking around, they want people to see that and say, oh, he has a Nike backpack. And God laid it on my heart that in our lives, who are we representing? Whenever people look at us, who are we reflecting? Do they look into our lives and see and say, okay, yeah, that guy, he represents Christ. I can see Christ shining in his life. I can see Christ working in his life. Or do they look at people's lives or my life and do they say, hey, I can't really tell who they're representing. Could be Christ, could be the world. And so what I want to talk to you about today is, who are you representing? Just like this backpack clearly signifies that it's from Nike, who are we representing in our lives? So let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and once you get over there, we're going to start in verse 29. So I kind of went through and picked a few telltale signs that can show who we are representing in our life, okay? So we're going to look at three different subjects tonight. And the first one is our speech. So Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let's read that one more time. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So the first thing that we're going to talk about tonight is our speech. Our speech is something that can immediately tell someone whether or not we're a Christian. The way that we talk, the things that we talk about, the words that we say, the subjects that come out of our mouth can immediately show, hey, is that person a Christian or are they not? How close is their walk with God? And people pay attention to what we say. I remember working at prior jobs, okay, and they would listen to what I said because they knew I was a Christian. They wanted to see, hey, is he going to slip up? Is he going to say something he's not supposed to? What's he going to think about the things that we're saying? And in our lives, we have to be so careful and cautious about what comes out of our mouths, okay? We have to be careful that we're representing Christ the right way in our speech, with the things that we talk about, with the conversations that take place. We have to be so careful about those types of things, okay? Let's go to Psalm chapter 19. We're going to look at a few different verses that talk about our speech. Psalm chapter 19, if you don't make it to these, it's okay because there's like five. Psalm chapter 19 and verse 14. Psalm 19 and verse 14. It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Let's stop on this verse for a second, okay? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. That verse right there is telling us that we carry death or life in our mouths. And I know that I talked a second ago about our speech and how the things that we say should be right. Our just not cussing isn't good enough when it comes to our speech, okay? Just not telling dirty jokes isn't good enough when it comes to our speech. Are we critical of others? Do we complain about our boss? Do we complain about other people in the church? Do we have a hateful language? How do we use our words? Do we build people up whenever we talk to them? Do we use our words to edify others? Or do we use it to tear people down? Do we use it to cause harm to other people? And that verse right there in Proverbs says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So anytime that we're speaking, we're either going to be speaking life words to others or we're going to be speaking death words. And we have to make sure that we're speaking life into other people. Because whenever I look at someone and I see that they're always complaining, they're always negative, they never have anything good to say, that says a lot about someone's walk with God. But then on the flip side, someone who's always excited, someone who's always happy, someone who is always just ready to go, and they have a positive attitude, that says a lot about their spiritual walk with God as well. So we have to make sure that in every aspect of our speech that we're honoring, that we are honoring God. Go to Proverbs chapter 15, verses 1 through 2. It says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness." Our speech is so important. And then the last one we'll look at is James chapter 1 and verse 19. James chapter 1 and verse 19. If I can find it. 1 second. There we go. James 1, 19. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." That verse is something that each and every one of us can apply into our lives. It says that we need to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. That means in every situation in our lives, we need to take a step back and just hear things out first. Then speak on it, then act on it. And most times, we get that backwards. We start lashing out with our words. We start saying things that we can't take back. We can't remove those things. We can't take those scars away from those people with the things that we've said, and we act in the wrong order. So our speech is so important. Like I said, it's not just about not cussing and stuff like that. It's about how do you control your tongue? How do you talk to people? How do you treat people? And we have to make sure that our speech is something that is right with God. We have to make sure that our speech, whenever we are at work, whenever we're at school, whenever we are anywhere, even at church, that it is representing Christ. Whenever people look, they can say, hey, I can tell that person's a Christian by the way that they talk. I can tell that person's a Christian by their positive attitude, by the things that they say. So our speech is a very important matter in this subject, okay? The second thing that we're going to look at here is our actions. Let's go to James chapter 1, and we'll read verse 22 through 24. It says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." So the second thing that we're going to look at here is the actions that we do in our lives, okay? So the first thing was our speech. Our speech can tell our walk with God. Our speech can tell whether or not we're a Christian. Secondly, our actions can really tell our walk with God. And we have to make sure that the things that we do in our lives are representing Christ in the right way. Okay, well, we'll use this for an example, okay? If someone's driving down the street and they see my car parked outside of a bar, and they say, hey, I think it's Pastor Adam's car. That's not going to be a very good representation, right? It's not. And the fact is that my actions are going to dictate what other people think about me. That's just a fact. And we have to make sure that the things that we are doing are good. We have to make sure that the things that we are doing are Christ-honoring because we represent him. If an ambassador to another country came here, not to the church, but to America, and we saw them on TV, and they were acting the fool, okay? They were not doing things right. Their speech wasn't good. Just a whole bunch of stuff. They weren't professionally dressed. What would we think? we would think they didn't really take their job seriously. We wouldn't think that they really thought much about the position of being an ambassador to America. Yet we're ambassadors for Christ to this world. God has sent each and every one of us down here and saved us, not just to be saved, not just to be a fire escape from hell, but to go and to reach other people. He has put us down here to complete a mission for him. And you and I are all ambassadors. And he has given each and every one of us something to do, and that is to reach other people. Yet too many times, we're kind of lackadaisical in that mission. We don't really take it too seriously. And our actions are going to dictate what people think about Christ. Sometimes we are the only picture that people will see of Christ, okay? People can look at us, and if I leave a good impression on them, that's going to leave a good impression with the Lord to them. But if they know I'm a Christian and I treat them bad and I'm conniving and my actions just show them that Christianity maybe isn't what it ought to be, that is going to be a bad impression on them. So we need to make sure that every single action that we do, when we wake up in the morning to whenever we go to bed at night, that our actions are pleasing to the Lord, that the things that we are doing are God-honoring. And that's not always going to be an easy thing to do, but it's something that we need to strive to do, because people can look and they can point and they say, hey, who's that guy representing? I mean, he talks about Christ, but his actions aren't lining up. And in this verse right here, James chapter 1, 22 through 24, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We hear preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We read our Bibles, hopefully, all that stuff. And sometimes we become just hearers of the word and not doers. We know what the scripture says for us to do. The Bible plainly and clearly lays out the things that we need to do. Yet sometimes we hear it and we say, oh, that's great. That's great. Brother Pascal's message this morning, okay? Great message. And I hope that we don't make the mistake of just saying that was a great message and then just moving on from that. We need to take the things that he taught us this morning and then implement them into our lives. I was talking to the teens the other day about this passage right here. And I said, if we go to school and we don't apply anything that we learned, it's pretty much useless. And it's the same way with this. I can read the Bible 1,000 times through every year. But if I don't take the scripture and apply it into my lives, is it doing me any good? Not really. Because I'm just kind of reading a storybook at that point. I'm not applying it into my heart. I'm not implementing it into my life. And my actions, therefore, are not going to be Christ-honoring, because we have to take what he's given us and then launch from that and use it, okay? So we need to make sure that every single area of our lives with our actions is God-honoring. Christians should not treat people nasty, okay? Whenever we go out to eat, the waiter or waitress is having a bad day, we shouldn't be rude to them. The thing that I hate is sometimes people go out to eat, okay, Christians, and they'll treat the waiter or the waitress wrong, and then they'll leave a track. That's not a very good impression, you know what I mean? I wouldn't want to go to church if you just treated me horribly. We need to make sure that we are treating every single person that we encounter the right way, okay? Does anyone have road rage? Road rage? Okay, I do. I'll be honest. And I hate whenever people cut me off, okay? And sometimes I'll be driving, and my actions, I don't do anything crazy, but my actions don't represent what Christ would do, okay? And I got to remember that my daughter, Kennedy, is sitting in the back seat. And if she sees me slamming my hands around or saying, come on, and yelling at people, is that a very good impression on Kennedy? No, because I shouldn't be acting that way, okay? It's traffic. There's no need for me to get upset like that. But even the smallest things like that, that we don't even think about, our actions are relaying information to others, and it's having an impression on them, okay? So the first thing we talked about was our speech and your personal life. Does your speech show that you're representing Christ, or does it show that you're representing the world? Our actions, do they show that you're representing Jesus, or do they show that you have a different agenda? So then we'll look at the last point here, well, technically second to last point, in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and we will start in verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And let's focus in here on verse 20. It says, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So the last thing that we're going to look at here is our fruits. Do our fruits show to other people that we represent Christ or that we represent something else? And our fruit is going to show up in our lives, okay? Our fruit can show up in many different areas. Reaching people, okay? We'll talk about that first. With reaching others. That's one of the telltale signs of, is someone having a close walk with God or not? Have they reached anyone in their lives? Have they ever told anyone about Christ? We talked about this a little bit in the last point about sharing Christ with other people, okay? Our fruit is going to show up with how much we talk about Christ. With, are we sharing the gospel with other people? I'm a Cowboys fan, okay? And I hope they win today, but I don't know. And my goal is to get as many people to be Cowboys fans as I can, okay? I came up here to Michigan, not very many Cowboys fans, but I'd rather be a Cowboys fan than a Lions fan. No offense. But I want, what was that?
Go Bucks.
I want people to be Cowboys fans with me, okay? I want to talk about them. I want to promote them. I want to embody them. I want people to come along my side and join them with me, okay? And it should be the same exact way with our Christianity. Our fruit should be showing that, hey, I have more people here with me. I have people that I bring to church. I have people that I have been able to tell about Christ. I have people that I'm able to disciple personally. I have people that I'm able to just give a tract to and invite them to church. And our fruit is going to show up in that area. But can I be honest, church? I feel like sometimes we don't really take those things seriously. I think sometimes we kind of put winning other people for Christ on the back burner. We act like someone can only get saved at church on a Sunday morning. That's not the case. How many people here believe in hell? Everyone, right? And I say this even, well, here, I'll backtrack a little bit, okay? Whenever I was writing out this sermon, I didn't really want to talk about this topic or this point because it was hitting home even with myself. And God kind of reminded me that hell is real. And I believe in hell. But then I thought, do you really, 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 truly believe in hell? Do you really, truly take it seriously? Do you believe that people are dying every single day and going to hell? Do you really believe that your neighbors are going to hell if they're not saved? Do you believe that you have family members that are dying every day and actually going to hell? And that is a true fact. And it's something that I think that as a church and as Christianity worldwide, we've kind of put that on the back burner and just let that simmer a little bit, and we don't really deal with that topic. We act like, well, you know what, things are getting worse, which is true, okay? Politically, things don't look good. Financially, for America, things don't look good. If you look across the world, Russia, Ukraine, all that stuff going on, doesn't look good. The other day, I asked the kids in the youth group, over under 10 years, do you think Jesus is going to come back? And it was a mixed answer. Some people said under 10 years. Some people said over 10 years. I have no idea when he's going to come back, okay? But what I do know is that things don't look really good. And that doesn't give us an excuse to just sit back and wait for him to come back. That means that we should be going even harder than we have been. That means that we should be trying to reach as many people as we possibly can. Because one day, it's going to be over. One day, he's going to return, and we're not going to be able to reach any more people. One day, he's going to return, and that lost family member is going to be forever damned because they never accepted Christ. And we have to make sure that we are reaching every single person in our lives, that we are ministering to them, that we are trying to share the gospel with them, that we are praying for them. I heard this pastor say the other day, he was talking about politics and stuff, and he said, okay, but how many of you have actually prayed for the people in the current administration? That hits home, right? I thought about it. I hadn't genuinely prayed for them. I hadn't genuinely prayed for their salvation. And we should be seeking people to tell them about Christ. We should be trying to get every single person that we know closer to Christ and saved. if we went and we left church tonight and we were driving down Sheldon here and we saw a house on fire, what would you do? We'd stop, right? We'd call 911. We'd probably start banging on the door. We'd try to help them. Yet, there is a fire that's burning even hotter than that in hell. And every single day, people that we know are dying and they're going there. And we still don't really care too much about it sometimes. So we have to make sure that we are giving our best effort with our fruit. We have to make sure that we're going out and trying to collect as much fruit as we can, not for our glory, not for numbers, but because we want there to be more people in heaven, but because we don't want them to suffer an eternity in hell. And our fruit is a good sign and a good indicator of who are we representing. Are we representing Christ, or are we representing someone else? I think about Brother Ron's wife, Diana. How long did she pray for her sister to get saved? 30 years. That's a long time, okay? A very long time. But she still came to the saving knowledge of Christ. So we can't give up whenever we talk to that family member that doesn't want to hear anything about Jesus. We can't give up whenever that coworker says, hey, I don't want to talk about that. I'm not saying get fired from your job. But what I'm telling you is that keep praying for them. Keep trying to work on them whenever you can. Because we need to grow our fruit as a church, as Christianity. We need to be reaching other people. And our fruit is going to tell what kind of person we are. The Bible says, by their fruits ye shall know them. So if we take an inward look into our lives and we say, hey, how much fruit do I have? How many people have I told about Christ? How many people have I reached lately? How many people have I been able to share the good news with? And our fruit is going to show up in that area, and we have to make sure that we are representing Christ in the right way, okay? I think the devil loves it whenever he looks, because he doesn't have to look that hard, or he doesn't have to work that hard, and he looks and he says, hey, they're not trying to reach anybody. He's not even having to really actively keep people out of hell, because we're not really trying to get in any of them. So we have to make sure that we are reaching others for Christ, okay? And then we'll look here at the last thing. Go over to Matthew chapter 6, and we'll close out here. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, and this will be the conclusion. It says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. So that verse is pretty straightforward, okay? It says we can't serve God and mammon. We can't serve the Lord and the things of this world. We can't be representing two different teams, okay? So I ask you, who are you going to represent? Who are you going to choose in your life? Is it going to be Christ, or is it going to be the things of this world? Are we going to choose to represent him in every aspect of our lives, or are we going to just choose a couple? And the Bible says that we can't serve God and mammon. So we have to pick one or the other. And that's a hard thing, because there might be things that we have to get out of our lives. There might be some things that we have to kind of toss to the side that we can't keep around because they don't make God very happy. And we have to make sure that we are serving him fully. Are we going to have a bad day? Yeah. Are we going to make mistakes and sin? Yes, because we're imperfect people. But he wants our hearts. He wants us to give ourselves completely over to him 110%. He wants us to sell out for him and to follow him anywhere that he leads, okay? He wants us to pick up the Nike backpack and say, you know what, I'm going to represent them. I'm going to wear that everywhere, and I'm going to represent what they stand for and all that. He wants you to take his life and his name and represent him. He wants you to put on your Jesus jersey and say, okay, I'm on his team. I'm representing him 110%. If the Cowboys lose today, I'm still going to be a Cowboys fan, okay? Cowboys haven't won the Super Bowl since I was like one. I'm 26 now. It's a shame. But I'm still going to be a Cowboys fan until the day that I die. They could never win another Super Bowl. I don't care. I'm never switching, okay? And we should be that same exact way with Christ. We need to be Team Jesus 100%. Whether we're having a bad day, whether it feels like things aren't going our way, we still need to be on his side. We need to be following him. So I ask you, church, is it going to be God or mammon? Are we going to follow Jesus or the things of this world? And who are you representing? With your speech, with your actions, and then with your fruits. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for allowing us again, Lord, just to be able to worship you here in a free country. I ask you to help us to take this sermon, Lord, and just to think about it, Lord, even myself. There are so many different things that we all can work on. I ask you to help us to honor and glorify you with everything in our lives. In your name I pray. Amen.